Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out here in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Lord Jesus, we just come before you again. And we come before you, Lord, and humble ourselves. And we thank you for this past week. We thank you that we are able to gather together today, whether it be in person or online, Lord, so that we can receive a message from you. And Lord, I ask that everyone that hears this message take it into their heart. That you give all of us understanding and that you allow us to take in what you have for us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
With the precious blood of Jesus. Oh,
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Some good messages have gone out today. The Lord has more for us. Amen. Oh, let's turn over to Romans 5. Starting at 8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our work. Okay, that don't say that. I jumped a line somewhere in there. Let's try that one again. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Don't know where that other one jumped in there. Don't even know where I saw it at, but it was there when I was reading it. Praise God, right? Amen. While we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Before we were a thought to any of our parents, before we were probably 90% of our relatives were even around, Jesus Christ died for every single sin. Sins before he was on this earth, sins for during when he was on this earth, and sins right up till 5 minutes ago. And until his return in the future. And it doesn't matter, as long as we confess our sins, he is good and true and will forgive them. And you can go on down and read all this, but if you go over to 6, starting at 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? Dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by glory, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
That's a promise. That's a promise we can stand in. There's many promises in the Bible, and we can stand in all of them. It also tells us that when we fall into diverse temptations, fall into. That doesn't mean you were tempted. That means you did it. To count it all joy. Because you're learning. You're growing. We don't have to stand in sin. We don't have to continue in sin. We should not continue in sin. But there's that learning process, that curve that we must go through. And whether we catch it ourselves or somebody else catches it and brings it to us, we need to learn to humble ourselves, to ask for forgiveness, and to move that aside and let it go and not continue on that path. Jesus Christ is faithful. Jesus Christ is love. Jesus Christ's grace does not have an end. His mercy does not have an end. Through Him, and only through Him, can we be joined to the Father freely, completely. It's a beautiful promise. It's there for the taking. Humble yourselves. Accept it. Walk in it. Amen. Chair.
Good morning.
Morning.
Try to get this thing. There we go. Believe. Just one word. believe. We talk about it, or at least I know I talk about it a lot. Believe the gospel. Believe Jesus. There's lots of things that we can believe. I mean, I can't count them all. I don't think any one of you could count the number of different things that you could possibly believe. But I'm telling you the one thing, the one truth thing that you must, that you need to believe is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That is the key to eternal life. That's the key that unlocks the power of God. That's the key that brings you close to Him. Believe. I'm going to read over in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Should not perish, might be saved. So there's a choice there. If you don't want to perish and you want to be saved, you need to make a choice, and that choice is Jesus. Choose to believe Him. I think it was Brother Davy in the past has said, don't take yourself seriously. Take God seriously. He's not a liar. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't do that, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. You remember Lot. Judgment was about to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. Angels came down and told him, hey, get out. Let's go. Come with us. Don't look back. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. She didn't take the word of God seriously as delivered by those angels. She did not believe. She looked back, she died. She turned into a pillar of salt. Is that going to be you? Are you not going to believe the word of God? Are you not going to listen to your authorities? To your ministers, to your husbands, to your parents. I know for me, it's kind of like I'm walking around and I got two armloads of stuff. One armload, I have the things of God, let's call it. And the other armload is I have the things of this world. Now, as I try to grab a hold of those things of God, the things in this armload, they're preventing me. I can't get both my arms around those things of God. I can't get my arms around Jesus because I'm hanging on to those things of this world. All that garbage, all that trash, all that nonsense that I still somehow believe. But it's not going to be until I can just drop that. Or as Paul said, count it all dung. Then I'll drop it. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Because it seems like a lot of these things that I do call dung, I yet still hold on to. You can't be a lover of God and a lover of this world. See, everything in this world is going to pull you straight down to hell. the only one and true thing that will save you is Jesus. It's my hope that every one of us recognizes and sees those things that are in our lives that are separating us from Him, that are preventing us from wrapping our arms around it, so that we can be shed of those things, so that we can move together as one body, as one unit in Christ Jesus, accomplishing His will on earth. That's where I want to be. That's where I want every last one of you in this room that's listening online now, in the future, whenever. I want you all there. So let's move forward in Him. Amen?
Chair.
Praise God. You know, that song, when you hear Keith Green do it, who's the one who wrote that song, he talks about how he was in a really low place. And there's a second verse to that song, and I don't remember it perfectly, but it talks about, Lord, please light the fire that once burned bright in me. And I share that with you because, see, that's a place we have to go back to regularly. And I was thinking this morning, and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 4. I was thinking, I mean, you know, this ministry, we can kind of can chuckle every once in a while because we talk a lot about how bad we are. Are you guys bad?
Yep.
Yep. I mean, we talk a lot about how bad we are. And the truth is, we are. But a lot of what holds us back is the fact that we place way too much importance on how bad we are. And let's look at Romans 4 from verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaineth to the flesh, hath found? Because for those who don't know us out there, I am not saying that this is a congregation that does not have the love of God. I'm not saying these things because the fact of the matter is we do. Perfectly? No.
But we do. And literally this camp and our local congregations are living testimonies to that fact. Not because of our goodness, but because of His goodness. All right, so I don't in any way, manner, shape, or form want to take away from our badness while talking about His goodness, because they both are true. But our badness is our badness after the flesh. See, Paul, when you're reading Romans 6, it says, you know, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That is the body of this flesh. That grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer there? And see, it's talking about where you dwell. See, your flesh is your flesh and never changes, and evil and wicked and contrary to God in every way all of your life, and that will never change. That's why you can say we're bad. Paul said, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And yet did Paul do great things? Absolutely. Absolutely. And notwithstanding the badness that is our flesh, we can do great things. And that's why the question in Romans 4:1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? Have you ever read the story of Abraham? Wandering around, takes him 25 years to get from when God calls him into the promised land that God called him to. Well, I've been a Christian now 25 years. I can kind of relate to that kind of stupidity. All right, but the fact of the matter is, notwithstanding that, along the way, the Lord has used me. And He did get Abraham into the promised land. And He promised Abraham that he could have it. And then Abraham, because it was going to go to his seed, and Sarah couldn't seem to have children, and notwithstanding his best efforts and everything, he screwed up again, right? He screwed up again. That whole thing with Hagar went down beautifully, didn't it? Seems like nobody liked what went down there. Hagar didn't like it. Sarah didn't like it. Abraham didn't like it. The fruit of it, which was Ishmael, he didn't like it. And yet God was bigger than all of that. And then you watch him as he wanders around out there, not having a home, not having all the things that everybody around him looked to as being the things that were that which demonstrated your value. I want to get to this concept of value here in a moment, because this hangs us up unbelievably. See, we think everything we get, we should get out of some merit on our part. As I recall, you were reading something today, Bob, were you not? About how Jesus Christ died for us when we were yet sinners, right? Boy, that hardly sounds meritorious on our part, does it? Like we had done something that merited His death for us, or choosing to die for us. No, it has nothing to do with merit. And see, that's the battle of faith you're going to see here that goes down in Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So there was no work that justified Abraham. It was his decision to believe God, notwithstanding the evidence of any works on his part. Now, if you look at it, what do we get hung up on? People were talking, I think, earlier today, and I heard a little bit of the things. They were talking about chastening, right? I think some people talked about chastening. Yeah, I did wrong again. And what do? We're all mournful. I did wrong. I can't do anything right. I'm so bad. I'm this, that, and the other thing. And we sang all these songs about rejoicing and thanking God, right? Well, listen, how do we reconcile that? We reconcile it by the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, your thankfulness is to Him, not patting yourself on the back. Those are the ones we tend to get excited about, right? When we can pat ourselves on the back about something we did. Those are the ones we like. The idea that we should be rejoicing when we're dumb, stupid, ignorant, ridiculous, bad attitude, all the other things. Those are those diverse temptations you're referring to, I think, Bob. Right? Those diverse ones which we kind of hug up to and carry around like Scott was talking about. Right? We carry on to them, and we miss because of it, because we hang on to that crap and think somehow it's actually about what we do. We can't fight the good fight of faith because we don't rightly divide it. See, the good fight of faith is notwithstanding all of that testimony against you, notwithstanding every last bit of it, God's grace is greater than that. It's greater than you on your worst day. It's greater than your worst sin. It is greater than all. But see, we want to somehow be able to claim something of ourselves to justify ourselves. And as a consequence of that, we end up not walking in the promise of Abraham. Because we think somehow or other it's about us again and what we do. You know what's the amazing thing? People don't realize this. See, we're saved by grace, right? Everybody here knows we're saved by grace, saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, all that stuff. We know it. You know the best way to demonstrate that to people? And I'm not telling you to go do this, but I just want you to understand what demonstrates it is your utter, complete idiocy. And the fact that God somehow, notwithstanding all of your failures, every screw up you've done, every way in which you are completely undeserving of any good thing, yet accomplishes good things and keeps you through it all. That testifies to everyone who cares to see of his grace. Of course, it doesn't testify well of you, right? I mean, what do I have after the flesh to say about all that? Right? What do you have to say? What triumphant words can you share about how great you are? Right, we sing that song, How Great Thou Art. But really our struggle is it's how great we want to be. Right? And as a consequence of it, we lose those battles and don't realize God's grace yet covering us. But we lose those battles because that's not the testimony we want to have people have of us. Is the testimony of God's grace covering us. We want the testimony of our greatness. It's really what holds us up. I told Jeannie one time years ago. Jeannie, I know you're out there probably. And so Jeannie's living, she listening out there. She can say hi, everyone, in the chat. Say hi, everyone, Jeannie. I told Jeannie one time, and because Jeannie can have a tendency to screw things up. I love Jeannie. Jeannie has tended to sometimes make me rather frustrated as she screwed things up. But I've told her more than once about what an unbelievable testimony of God's grace she is. Just mind-blowing testimony of God's grace. I mean, she gets fired from one job. I'm a single mom, living on a shoestring, no money, no savings account, no safety net, no anything. She gets fired from her job. She's a faithful tither and offerer. God sustains her. She gets another job. She gets fired from that job, too. In fact, that was me who fired her. So you can tell, Jeannie and I, we love one another, have great things all the time.
You big jerk.
And she got fired from that job. And the Lord sustained her. And the Lord sustained her through, some really stupid things. But the fact of the matter is, through all of that, Jesus sustained her. And I said, Jeannie, when you can get to the place where you can testify of how God in his grace has kept you through all of those things, you will have a great ministry. But of course, all of those things is the thing Jeannie doesn't want to talk about at all, right? I mean, who wants to go tell people I got fired from my job? Then I was working for my minister and got fired from that job. And then I did this and I did this thing wrong. And yet God took care of me. Who wants to do that? A minister of the gospel does, because they love others more than themselves. And they recognize that those things that they have done wrong in the manner in which God has sustained and covered them through it is what gives other sinners hope. So it's not a big deal. So let's keep going on here. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, it wasn't earned. It was put on him, kind of like a king to a knight takes of his authority and puts it on another. God put of his righteousness and covered Abraham in his righteousness rather than his own. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. See, that's why I said to Bob when he was reading and misread back there, said it's a good thing that wasn't in there, right? Because he was talking about working, right? And see, that's what happens. That's when we get into the owed sense. We get into the sense that God owes us because we've done this, that, and the other thing. Therefore, God owes us. You can tell. And you'll see it in people. See, one of the things I want you to understand about, if you can get through this and get this thing right, you are going to do wrong. And you ought to be sad by the wrong that you do and the impact it has on others. You should be deeply grieved over it, to the point that you go to Jesus and ask forgiveness for it. What I see a lot of in Christians is presumption. It doesn't matter at all. That's why God died for me and all this other stuff. They make light of the things they do that harm others. And they get robbed of the experience of having those things removed, taken away from them, because they walk in presumption. And they walk without care for their brothers and sisters who the things they've done may have angered, may have cost money to, may have frustrated. So people don't do it. They just walk in. It's almost like, I dare you to say anything to me about this. Right out here at the ranch, I listen to it. I can watch it, and it's amazing. I watch it periodically, and I'm thinking, damn. You're daring me to say something to you about what you just did, which was wrong? That's not a very good place to be standing. See, when you're about the truth, then you actually welcome the correction. When you are a person who already feels bad and is grieved by that which they have done, then when somebody brings it up to you, you're not justifying yourself. Then when somebody brings it up to you, you say, I know. I apologize. But what do I hear? Justification, which is that kind of daring. I dare you to say anything about this that goes on. And it's a function of the fact that in your heart, you prefer yourself over the truth. Not a good place. But when you know the grace of God and truth, you don't have to remain in that place of being grieved. You're able to get up and press toward that mark yet again. But you know when you get up and you press toward that mark, you know what happens? Some of that stuff you were carrying in the other hand, Scott, you were describing, has now been left. You see what I'm saying? When you go there, it's now been left behind. So it no longer is with you. You no longer are carrying it. You are free. But in order to do it, you have to get to that place where you acknowledge it and are willing to openly state it. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I love that scripture. I've always loved that scripture. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. You know why I love that scripture? It's because, see, I'm the ungodly. You are the ungodly. See, we're trying so hard to be godly, and God cannot honor that, because what would it be honoring? Pride, self-righteousness, self-justification. By contrast, when we walk recognizing that we are the ungodly and God does it, now what happens when he moves through us? We give the glory unto him. All the glory goes to him. And we can say and do so compellingly because we're not afraid to share the truth about ourselves. We can tell the people who look at us like they did at Peter and said, you know, the gods have come down in the form of man, or like they did with Paul and the like, and they rent their clothes and said, no, we are men subject to like passions as are you. In other words, there's no difference between you and me but Jesus Christ. No difference. And now we can stand in his godliness and operate in his divine nature and recognize it's his, not ours. You follow what I'm saying? And not be ashamed or afraid of our own testimony of the grace that has covered the multitude of our sins, but rather make use of it to give hope unto others. And you see, David, who it goes down through after this, is a perfect example of that. See, Abraham was before the law, and Paul's brought it up because, of course, he's dealing with Jews and the like who are coming in and saying you got to keep the law. So he brings up Abraham, who was before the law, to show how he was. And then he goes down and he goes, even as David. So in the same way, just as Abraham was saved, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. See, without merit. See, everything we've grown up with is you get chosen for the ball team, you get chosen for this, you get all the different things by your merit. That's the way of the world, although the world's not very fair about it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say they get that right because they're corrupt and you see it. It's all different things. He's my son, therefore he gets it. Or she's sleeping with me, therefore she gets it. Or, you know, he's a jerk, and I know that he'll be a jerk and scare all those people, so he gets it. Or, you know, whatever it is. I mean, we got all kinds of bad ways. But it's still their merit to the individual making the decision, right, at some level. But in Christ, it has nothing to do with our merit. And so he goes saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And see, most Christians look at those as being one and the same thing. But of course, iniquities is our pride, and it's many different faces. Because the thing you learn about as you go forward in the Lord is, boy, there are far more faces to this thing called pride than I ever imagined. It shows up everywhere. And as far as sins, yeah, I mean, look, when I first came to the Lord, I started recounting them. It took me a couple days as I was talking about them, and I had really just begun to hit the tip of the iceberg, but I had all the sins that everybody else thinks of as sins, and I was bringing those up. Then years later, the Lord started showing me all the sins I didn't bring up, which were even worse than the ones I did, which was like, oh, man, what hope at all is there for me? But he goes, blessed is the man, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. See, in David, the beauty of David is being David under the law, what happened is not only did those things violate the law, and therefore there was no hope for him under the law, right, other than death. But God in his grace would not impute sin unto David and saved him. But David's sins are well known, are they not? I mean, think of it, and they're not, I mean, they're things that you, the kinds of things you probably wouldn't want to tell people about. Right there in the Bible. And his struggles with that reality are right there in the Bible. See, God took that. Because David got the fact that it wasn't his righteousness that saved him. All right? It wasn't his works that merited him being king. It wasn't any of those things. David, because he got that, was able to take all of the sorrow, all of the struggle to yet stand as king in the face of people everywhere judging him in his generation for that which he had done wrong, through the civil war and people dying as a consequence of what he did, and all of those different things, David was able to stand in that, in the grace of God, and minister that grace. Over in Psalm 51, you see him come to the conclusion, Then shall I teach sinners thy way, and transgressors shall be converted unto thee. Or maybe the other way. Then shall I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. All right, either way, you follow what I'm saying? When you can get past your sin, your badness, and recognize that's why Christ died for you, all right, and you're able to share that and minister out of that unto others, now compassion, the same compassion Christ has given to you, can flow through you to minister unto others. That same gospel that saves you can flow through you to minister unto others. As long as you're hung up about how bad you are, neither of those other two things can happen. It doesn't mean that it's not shown, because God in his bigness is able to use you and show you through that. Just like he showed the fact that Israel, when they were in transgression, he still showed to all the world his message of salvation while Israel was in the transgression. But how much better it is when you can be a part of his testimony and sharing that, because you're no longer afraid of those things that you're ashamed of. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. I just want to say something real short. I've been listening to the speaking today, the sermons. And I want to speak for just a minute to the greedy people out there, to the tree huggers, to those that want to save the earth. It hit me, the perfect way to save the earth, save yourself. You see, the earth was cursed, and all that was in it, because of one man. That was Adam. So the things you see going on in the earth today have to go on because of the curse. But if the people of the earth would receive the creator of the earth and the plan that the creator gave to save mankind, then the curse would have none effect on the earth. And you say, how can I say that? Because you go over to Jeremiah 23. And it makes it clear that because of the adultery in the land, the lying in the land, all the stuff that's going on in the land by the people, is causing the earth to mourn and the good, pleasant places to dry up. It's people's attitudes and the way people live to the flesh. But if mankind could turn their way and recognize the Creator and all that He has done and all that He has given, and to receive that salvation that is by grace, and believe it, you see a mighty change in the earth. Let's start there. If we start there, then solar energy is good, wind energy is good, all of these so-called things that are renewable are good. But through the grace of God, doing it on our own, it's do no good. So that was just a little short note to the green people out there. Amen.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
is the Lord, folks. As we finish out in prayer, I think that last song to me says a lot about this prayer. And that is, I'm watching here. My wife, we have this wonderful guitar solo come in. My wife's holding a guitar, not strumming a single thing. I watch this great keyboard playing, and I don't see Cheryl doing anything. Our God is an awesome God, and that keyboard is a good example of how we ought to walk, rejoicing in that grace. Amen. Instead of lamenting, I don't know how to do this, rejoice that God makes up every difference for us. Amen. Let's go forward in that. God bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.